This is Bucky Bacaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. It's time for an update on the Bacaw flock. We're now into over 2 years into my experiment of living with three hens of the miniature breed, Sarama. The success side of the equation is that besides being highly transportable and even tempered for doing site visits and demonstrations in private backyards, community gardens, libraries, and other public spaces, spreading the word about the aesthetic and ethical imperatives of urban chickening, they're also the cleanest, quietest, lowest waste pet I've ever had indoors with me. This seems to be incredibly difficult for people to believe, sometimes even after they've seen the video on my media features, but it's true. The poop is non-toxic and low smell, and it's useful for our gardening activities. They lay delicious eggs, and 90% or more of their feed is scraps from my own kitchen or forage from their field trips. They are sometimes cute, and generally they don't pester or annoy us when we're busy. Taking them out for field trips is less of a responsibility than walking dogs, but it's sometimes still a chore. They always get attention, which is really part of my outreach efforts to spread the word about the benefits of chickens. But I admit, sometimes I'm not in the mood to answer the same questions and listen to the same corny jokes about how many chickens it makes to take a bucket, ha ha. Don't get me wrong, I realize people just don't know what to say, and my calling is as a performer and evangelist. It's just that being on all the time can be tiring. So a private yard would be nice, so the chickens could have all the access they want. We could do demos at home sometimes, and field trips and road shows would be a treat rather than a chore. And also, chickens be less underfoot. I did proclaim 5 years ago, after the last of my cats and ferrets died, I'm done with indoor pets. But as both Ronald Reagan and John Lennon were known to say, never say never. A mixed blessing is that having chickens indoors has gotten a little extra media attention for the Bacaw agenda. The trick is directing interviews to where I want it, on the benefits of chickening to urban agriculture in a wide variety of settings, instead of, hey, look at these freaky chicken keepers. I think my spin control has been pretty good. But I finally realized that even the misconstruing negative-leaning pieces function to help normalize the real Bucky Bacaw agenda of a chicken in every yard. As the Russian TV news piece posited, why can't a family with a quarter acre in upstate New York or Cobb County, Georgia have chickens in their backyard when this dude manages to have them in a one-bedroom in New York City? And you know what? I'm okay with being the clown and the fall guy. It's how I got my start in politics, after all. On the other hand, the constant disbelief that chickens can be kept sanely indoors under certain circumstances gets me a little stubborn. It happens all across the planet, and even more in North America than is popularly imagined. I know a lot of people keep chicken indoors at least part of the year. There's good reasons to do it. Maybe neighbors will complain about your one rooster. Or one of the chickens is getting bullied. Or it's dangerously hot or cold in the coop and taking them in is easier than retrofits. But indoor chicken keepers are kind of closeted. They know people, even open-minded urban agriculture types, will be dumbfounded or skeptical. It's amazing to me how many people think I must be at a super high disease risk. Or when I talk about chicken outreach with children, they practically scream, they wash their hands, you make them wash their hands. And we do actually encourage hand washing. But I gotta tell you, no disrespect intended, but I see a lot of random dog touching and licking in public spaces. A few people seem to bat an eye at that. So even though my partner and I are looking for a nice rental with a yard and a chicken-friendly landlord, or even to buy a place, part of me wants to stay with indoor chickens, just to show them. But then there's the landlord. She gave us the go-ahead when we got started. It got a little rocky when some of the first chicks turned into crowing roosters, but we rehomed them. We invited her in, showed her no mess, no smell, and she was like, okay. After about a year, other landlords on our street would see us taking the chickens to our garden, in the park, or to outreach events. And they'd say, Maria lets you have chickens? And we'd say, yeah, and tell them there's no smell and we teach children about food. Oh, okay. Pretty soon, I see all the landlords hanging out on the street as they do, waiting for the gas meter man to make sure they're billed for actual usage, not the more expensive estimated cost that's adjusted later. That's the cheapskate landlord ritual on our block. Sometimes I think some of them should install solar panels, but that's another show, I guess. Anyway, I leave the apartment to go to work, and all the landlords go silent, like maybe they're talking about us. And then later in the day, our landlord is like, you gotta get rid of the chickens. Why? She won't say. But I know it's because the other landlords told her not to allow it. You know, if one person allows chickens, the whole fabric of society will fall apart. Meanwhile, we got Rottweilers, Great Danes, Greyhounds, and Golden Retrievers living in apartments the same size as mine, pooping up and down our street every day. Go figure. We put her off for a while because I happen to know she can't evict us, because chickens are legal and there's no smell or noise complaint. but the daily pleading got a little old. And one day it popped into my mind. How about the Compost Learning Center coop on Governor's Island? Hopefully you've heard my show about the Governor's Island flock, which I rebroadcast earlier this month. If not, I encourage you to access it from the archives by searching for Bucky at www.radioforall.net. In a nutshell, Governor's Island is a former military base, converted to a city park on 172 acres, spitting distance from Manhattan and Brooklyn. All kinds of recreation and entertainment and education goes on there for folks willing to take the ferry over, including a compost learning center, where food waste generated on the island is collected and turned into usable soil. It's supported by New York's Department of Sanitation because they want to encourage New Yorkers to throw away less stuff since landfill costs are rising. Chickens were added to the center because they're amazing compost workers, picking through scraps and aerating and adding nitrogen-rich poop, which accelerates the whole process. And also because no one was visiting the center to come see rotting foods and worms. But now they get loads of visitors every day because people, especially children, love to hang out with chickens. When I went out to interview Earth Matter, the organization that runs the center, last year, I wound up shoveling some compost and also spending several hours talking to people about compost and agriculture and chickens. I loved it. So we hatched a plan to integrate the Bacaw flock into the 24 or so chickens already there, and we'd see them more or less weekly when we go out to volunteer as compost and chicken educators. We go out before all the hordes of park visitors show up, and we load the Saramas up into a cute little chicken tractor hauled by bicycle and truck them out to events on the island. Everyone's bicycling or walking around the island on the main thoroughfare, so the transport is an event in itself. Our most recent trip was to the Jazz Age Lawn Party, a celebration of 1920s and 30s music and visual aesthetics. Our little group dressed in 20s clothing and dressed up our mobile coop with vintage signage, and we customized our chicken pitch to the event. Why are there chickens here? Well, you know, in the 20s there were no vast trucking networks, so folks grew as much food as they could as close to home as possible, which meant there were chickens in lots of New York City backyards for eggs, as vegetable garden assistants, and to help turn food waste into reusable soil. You can learn more by visiting the Compost Learning Center, where there are 27 more chickens almost as cute as these three, just a 5-minute walk down that there road. Our hens attract a lot of attention and inspire people to ask myriad questions, most of which I can bring back to the Bacaw and Earth Matter agenda of low-waste empowering urban agriculture. At the center, the three Bacaw hens are probably the most popular, and when visiting hours are over, they're reasonably well integrated into the larger flock and get all the food and water and sunshine they can absorb. It's working nice for everyone. I encourage anyone visiting or living in New York City to visit us and see for yourself what I'm talking about. If you contact me beforehand, maybe we can even coordinate and I'll meet more of my listeners. Here's the thing, my regular Bucky email is down and I haven't figured out why. So contact me please through the Bucky Bacaw Facebook fan page or Twitter account or roberto@buscarsi.com. Buscarsi is spelled B-U-S-C-A-R-S-I. Buscarsi is a stage name I use for my ukulele act, which is also a chance for me to quickly plug my other summer project, which I'd love for residents and visitors to join, the Ukulele Picnics. Lightly moderated spontaneity, including ukulele-centric performances, jams, and teach-ins on 3 Sundays, August 5th, 12th, and 19th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Astoria Park, Queens. Finally, as you may have noticed, it's a busy summer, which is why I'm announcing another official hiatus on new episodes. Kind of like when I was a youngin' and the summer brought repeat seasons because nobody really wanted to stay in watching TV anyhow. I'm going to upload suggested repeats with a little message that explains all that briefly until I start doing new episodes again in September. And for all my WGDR listeners in Vermont, I want you to know I'm fixing to visit the last week in September. I'm still working out the details of what ukulele and chicken stuff I'll be doing and when, but I really want to meet folks and I'll be filling in those details on my Facebook and Twitter accounts and when I get back on the air in September. Feel free to email me at roberto@buscarsi.com. with encouragement and suggestions. This is Bucky, letting the good times roll and inviting you to join me. Bucky, Bucky the dog.